flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Yesterday to you, or maybe it was Monday, whichever day it was. Yesterday,
one of those days. Yeah,
like what the Warriors need in an ideal world, they have someone who can be a number one at times throughout the course of the regular season. Because Steph, as good as he still is, can't do it for 82 anymore. He can do it if you save up his energy. He could do it in a big moment, in a big stretch of games, in a fourth quarter, in a playoff run. There's no doubt he's good enough to do that. But the evidence is right in front of us. He's missing more games because of nagging injuries, which is natural for a 36, nearly 37-year-old. And he's going through stretches like he did in the second half against the Lakers, where he's not making a shot, or in the second half against the Kings, where he's taking two shots because he can't even get a shot up.
Okay. Like,
so if you can just get a little bit of the pressure off of him and lean into somebody else and lean into their strengths at times, I think it ultimately helps Steph, even if maybe on the court in the moment you're not doing what's best to maximize him. You're saving him, thereby maximizing him in the future.
Want to get back to this, but I want you to also look at the clock. Everybody see what time it is? Y'all see what time it is right now?
It's 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. So, if you're trying to get into the knockout tournament, I would stay right where you are, okay? All the info is coming. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Bang, it's 4 o'clock. We will be giving you the keyword that you need to claim a spot in the knockout tournament on the Chase Center floor in 10 minutes. 10 minutes, we give you the keyword. Keep on listening. Another knockout spot is about to be given out. What are we at now? Eight? Eight people are in?
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Eight people are in. Three every day for 3 weeks. That's 45 people. Yeah. This is person number 9.
Out of 45.
Mambo number 9. This is number 9. Out of 45 spots. So, yes, you're going to have a bunch of chances today, tomorrow, the day after that, next week, week after that, all of that stuff. So keep on trying. We love you for how hard all of you are trying. You should see the fireworks that go off in here when one of these sounders plays. Just lights are flying up everywhere, the lines, like we see the intensity that you all have, and we love that. And then we're here to tell you, yes, it is worth that. It really is a moment. You will take a moment. I just want to describe this to everybody for a second, because this is true even for all of us. and we get like credentials to these events. But when you just walk out on the floor, don't call now. Stop. Anyway,
we didn't even read the contest number.
I don't even have the keyword, dog. What were you gonna say if Steven answered the phone? You're just gonna guess an English word? I don't even know what the keyword is yet. But
you could read ahead there and figure it out.
I could look ahead. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Now I do. Anyway, it is a moment. It's really a moment to walk out on that floor. There's nobody in the stands. Like, and you just go stand at center court and look around and breathe it in and do that thing that all of the little people in us used to do, which is just like, imagine that it is full.
Five, four.
Right. Count it down.
Three,
count it down.
Two,
the difference this time
one.
Is if you do that, if you count down from five and pretend that you are taking a game-winning shot, Guru will be there to block that shot. he will block your shot, and then he will laugh at you.
And he will get it videotaped, and he will post it on social media multiple
times. You will be on social media forever, and you will not know that he thinks that you were playing one-on-one, and that's it, and that he owned you. That's the way it goes.
There are a lot of cool perks that come with this job. Honestly, the knockout tournament is like my favorite.
Oh, dude, you're shooting the rocket chase.
It's amazing.
You shoot the rocket
chase.
So much
fun.
It's really cool. Very, very, very cool. So it's a pinch me kind of a thing. So we appreciate how hard all of you are trying and want to invite you to keep on trying. And again, you will get this keyword in now about 7 or 8 minutes. Okay, so stay right where you are. Keep on listening for your chance to get into the knockout thing. All right, so back to this Steph Curry conversation. There is one thing, and this isn't to criticize because I don't really know how hard it is, but I will point out that what they said they were going to do, they haven't done yet.
What's that?
Draymond Green said, Dennis Schroeder does not need to adjust to us. We need to adjust to him. Well, you haven't yet. You haven't. And last night was wonderful proof. Wonderful proof of what Dennis Schroeder looks like on a basketball court when he gets to do what he normally does. Now, I obviously we're not saying we want Schroeder to do what he does at the sacrifice of Steph. So what I understand is that this is a very, very difficult needle to thread where it's like, yes, we want to adjust to Dennis, but we're not going to also then just suddenly make Steph go stand in the corner and wait. However, I think I would argue the Warriors might be served to explore, and maybe they are, the idea of Steph having the ball in his hands a little bit less, having to do a little bit less, having to break down the double team a little bit less, and if that means letting other people kind of do the penetrate and kick and find you for an open jumper type situation, that would probably make sense. So Steph has always been great without the ball. I think I want to see a little bit more of that. I think I want to see a little bit more of Steph Curry on offense off the ball. Because right now, what we're looking at with 5 minutes left to go in these clutch games,
ugly.
He gets the ball over half court, and it feels, when you're watching the game, like there's eight people guarding him. And he literally, I mean, they're having a hard time even passing the ball around. So it's like, get the ball out of his hands. And if they want to go chase somebody who doesn't even have the ball, I got to think that that's going to open up the floor for other people to get better looks.
Yeah, I think we're at a point where you can ask yourself, what's the most realistic way the Warriors become like a good basketball team, a competitive basketball team, a team that can win a postseason series, given what is on their roster? And if your options are kind of the current route, which is Steph, save us, Steph, go crazy, Steph, go nuclear every night,
right?
Or it's figure out a way to put everyone else in the best position and hope that they improve enough to where they can kind of keep the team afloat and Steph can still be Steph in moments and in quarters and when you really need him. It seems pretty clear to me that even though, I mean, watching some of these players this year, it has been like banging your head against the wall. Like, I know that. But I think that second option trying to do the most you can to support everybody else and to put the others in the best position to succeed, that feels like by far the likelier scenario.
Yep.
Again, it's nothing against Steph.
No.
It's that right now, no one on the floor aside from Steph is respected or feared a single iota that defenses have to pay any attention to them.
Yeah.
If you could get Wiggins, Wiggins is not actually a great example of this. If you could get Kuminga and if you could get Schroeder and Moody, who scored, what, double figures in seven straight games now, whatever the number is, and Pajemski, who looked darn good last night and has looked good since he's returned from his injury in three games. If you get those working in unison together more consistently, and then guess what? You're still getting 22 a night from Steph. You're no longer relying on Steph to get 30 and to save you every single night. And then you have a little bit more Steph left over if you make the playoffs.
Look, he's a guy who's averaging 22 a night now. And the top scorers in the NBA are 10 points ahead of him, at least if you want to go all the way to the top. Shai Gilgeous is averaging 32. Giannis is averaging just a shade under 32. Jokic is averaging 30. LaMelo Ball, 28. Kevin Durant, 27. And Tyrese Maxey, 27. Those are your top six scorers in the NBA. Steph is not one of those guys anymore, whether it's because of size, age, the teammates, all of the things, whatever. Like, and this is just sort of, I hope that this idea lands. I see Steph Moore going into kind of what I would refer to as a Darius Garlandville. And Darius is not even, he's not option one on his team. He's option 1A, 1B-ish. He averages a couple points less per game than Donovan Mitchell. But he is still a ball handler. The ball is in his hands. He is actually averaging just a couple of shots per game less than Donovan Mitchell. But he's like someone they're going to rely on, but it's not all the focus on him. So it's a little bit more of an opportunistic way about going to the basket instead of just like, here's the ball, work really hard, and see if you can get your shot. I do think there is a measure of trust that maybe, and understandably, the top-level Warriors don't have with regard to their teammates and their process.
No doubt.
There's not a, like, I'm going to pass the ball here, and I'm going to go run off of a screen, and I'm going to trust that this offense is going to lead back to me or to the bucket, the same way it did if you were passing the ball to Andre Iguodala over there as opposed to Moses Moody.
Oh, and also KD was on the floor.
Yes.
And Prime Clay was on the floor.
I mean, that's silly. That's obvious. But it's more conceptual and like the approach of how do you view Steph. Because as you said, hero ball? No. No. Like, it's not there. Not there anymore.
Hero ball with this roster wouldn't work for 27-year-old Steph.
Yep.
Let alone 36-year-old Steph.
Correct.
And, like, if there is, and I think to your point, the perfect example of that, like, decision that maybe goes on in Steph's head over a split second, it's the shot at the end of the Sacramento game last week. Down by two, a minute and a half left. The team's been scoreless for like 2.5 or 3 minutes. You get across half court, you see the double team coming off of the pick and roll. Steph's like, well, you know what? We haven't been getting good looks. I'm going to take the three here from 30-plus feet out. And it almost goes in. That speaks to Steph's greatness.
Yep.
But it's Steph saying, and then you pointed this out the next day, it's Steph saying, I don't trust the rest of this unit to get a better opportunity than this.
Okay. We've arrived at the time. Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Also, I want to shake it up a little bit. 888-957-9570 is the number. And would love to do a temperature check on all of you Bay Area sports fans. Because I was thinking about this today. A little bit of a rough patch. I don't know if everybody noticed. The Eagles are about to play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. The Warriors are struggling to beat the Jazz and their 500 basketball team that is out of the playoffs currently. And don't get me started about the fact that the Dodgers have signed 47 free agents for $3 billion. At least that's what it feels like in the last 14 days, while the Giants are like,
hey, they made a move today.
Yeah, they did. Huge trade to clear money. And the Giants are over here like, hey, Justin Verlander's not 43 yet. So how about him? So the Dodgers run baseball. The Chiefs and Eagles run football. And the Warriors are double-digit underdogs at home in a couple hours. So, like, A, how you doing? And B, we want to throw out a narrative for each team.
Okay.
And then y'all can weigh in on if this is a fair take or not. Because these are the things we hear a lot about those three teams. And we'll throw that at you here coming up next. But most importantly, immediately coming up next, here comes the keyword. The keyword you need to win your way into the knockout tournament. Coming up next immediately. So stay right here. Keep it locked to Willard and Dibs.
Come on!
Dub Nation, it's Quinton Post. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, QP. Let's not mess around. Let's do this right away. I know what y'all waiting for. Okay?
Give me the keyword.
It's keyword time. Keyword time. Want to play knockout with us? You want to have that moment? You want to stand at center court at Chase Center, look around. And then right as you grab one of the basketballs out of our rack, you can head right over there and pretend you are winning a game for the Warriors with a pull-up three. Only to have Guru come out of nowhere and swat your shot.
No. Honestly, one of the coolest parts about this, I mean, it's obvious, but like shooting the actual NBA game regulation basketball
is crazy, man. There are moments where it feels like a medicine ball, for crying out loud. But when that first one goes in, and you're like, I just scored at Chase Center.
Such a sweet feeling.
It's fun. So here we go, okay? Today's key word is hoop. That's it. The key word is hoop. So now you've got the word. And sometime in the next 25 minutes, you are going to hear, don't call now. You're going to hear this sounder.
Oh, give him a sec.
Lucas. Talk about choking on the open net. Don't call now.
The next time you hear that sounder,
hopefully there'll be no breaking news between now and then, because if there is, you're going to hear the sounder. But anyway, when you hear the sounder again, that's your cue to call the contest line.
Everyone is calling now.
Stop calling. You're all wrong. And I'm going to jot all your names down and disqualify you. Stop calling. Man, y'all are like dogs. You're just like, treat? Did someone say treat? Chill. Not now.
Soon.
Okay? You've got the keyword. The keyword is hoop. And the contest line is 415-523-4652. Apparently, some of you already know that.
A lot of other people were calling our normal call-in line,
too. Some of you are calling 888-957-9570, and that really gets me upset.
Oh, you could call, but you just aren't going to win that way.
Maybe they all wanted to take a shot at Mark Grandy for all of his takes this week. Who knows?
Maybe.
Anyway. The word is hoop. The contest line is 415-523-4652. The next time you hear those horns, you're ready to go. Save the number, save the word. 415-523-4652, and the word is hoop. Because when you hear that sounder again, the first person to call in, get answered, and correctly give the key word, you are winner number 9. On your way into the knockout tournament. So please keep listening. It is coming very, very soon. Okay? All right.
Got it.
That is your assignment. And I know that all of you are going to fail because we have turned our lines off and we know that a bunch of you are calling right now. And the reason that you're getting busy signal is because we have turned the lines off. Because you are all misbehaving. Okay? Okay?
Just keep listening. You'll be fine.
Take it from someone with three kids. Okay? When my son looked at me last week, yes, Dad, I brushed my teeth. Well, then why is your toothbrush bone dry?
you're like the official Jean Hockley in that Eagles Commanders game from over the weekend. Yes. If this behavior continues,
can we play that again? I want to hear Jean Hockley wag that finger at the Washington Commanders. If this behavior continues, we are canceling the knockout tournament.
Whoa!
If this continues, if you people, you keep this crap up, we're canceling the whole thing. We're going home. And you are going to write on a piece of paper 100 times, I will not call before the sounder. I will not call before the sounder. Play it, Lucas.
Mike, how close can they put this ball to the goal line at this point?
Well, interestingly enough, you got a situation here. If these are deliberate, and you heard Jean Hockley say that it could lead to an unsportsmanlike conduct call, it could also lead to awarding a score. If it happens multiple times like this, we'll hear what Sean has to say.
Encroachment, defense number 93. Washington has been advised that at some point the referee can award a score if this type of behavior happens again. For now, it's a replay of second down.
Mike, that's unbelievable.
Oh, gosh, it's still, it's my, it is, other than giving him the business, I think it is one of my top two favorite things a referee has ever said. If this, oh my gosh! If this type of behavior happens again, oh my God! He threatened him. He threatened him right in the middle of the field. So same thing for all you people calling right now. This keeps up, we're gonna jot your numbers down. We are going to come to your house and we're gonna wag our fingers directly in your face. So stop it. But one of you is gonna win your way in. Coming up here real soon. So. Hey, what about this? What about this? And this you can call, but you have to call the regular line, and then you talk on the radio. Not win anything. All you win is a beautiful conversation with two people named Mark. One of them is spelled correctly. Anyway.
And one of them, yeah.
888-957-9570. Take your pick. But if I threw out these narratives, because I do think we're going through it a little bit right now, I also think we deserve it. And here's what I mean by that. Hey, Bay Area sports fan, it's been a decade of fat and happy. Now, if you're a huge 49er fan, that might make you mad.
Decade and a half.
Yeah, it's been a decade and a half of fat and happy. I would argue sometimes a little unappreciative. Where you just kick your feet up at the beginning of the year and you're like, so, are we going to be good or really good? And I know the Giants have had some annoying seasons. The 49ers have had injury-riddled seasons, major disappointment at the end of Super Bowls. But the 49ers have been to the Super Bowl. If you go decade and a half, they've been to the Super Bowl three times. The Warriors have four rings. The Giants have three rings. Holy crap! And now we're sitting here in 2025 going, the Warriors are double-digit underdogs in their own building. They're 500. The 49ers went 6-11 and have a good draft pick. And the San Francisco Giants are watching the Dodgers literally clown the entire sport. So, A, and I'll ask you this, how you feeling?
Not great.
What word would you use?
Frustrated.
Okay.
Frustrated.
I bet that's the number one answer on the board. Right?
I remember during the peak of tail end of the Giants winning titles, you could go as far as like 2016 when they were still a quality team. Warriors were obviously very, very good at that point. Niners were not good at that point. But I remember my frustration during like the peak of Bay Area sports, like 2014-ish probably, 2015-ish. It was, man, no matter what happens, all three of these teams can't be great at once. We never had a year where they were all great at once. And now it's, they're all average at best.
They're all average, but it feels sort of momentary.
Yes.
I would
the
argue...
The Niners are like much closer to anything than the other two.
Yeah, I think that a calm-thinking 49er fan is not like overly freaking out by any stretch. They're still doing their thing, and there's a avenue there for them to be very, very good next year. I don't know if they will be, but... That avenue exists. The San Francisco Giants feel like that's the team that has the most rational anger for a fan. Like, to me, that's the team where a fan can legitimately be like, y'all, what are you doing? Now, the Dodger thing is not necessarily the Giants' fault. It's actually not. It's not the Giants' fault at all. I think you could ask why the Giants haven't done more of the same. Why aren't they doing some of the things the Dodgers are doing? So this whole, like, they let the Dodgers do this. Well, they didn't let the Dodgers do it. I mean, baseball let the Dodgers do it. And then the Dodgers did it. So the question for the other teams is, why aren't you also?
The Dodgers add to my frustration, but in terms of my frustration for the Giants, it has nothing to do with the Dodgers.
Oh, let's explore that in a second. But you agree with me that of the three teams, that should have the most uncomfortable fan base.
Yeah.
Of the three. The Warriors is the one for me. I'll just be straight real with y'all. I do not get your anger. I don't even understand it.
Yeah, you're good with an average basketball team.
No,
huh?
I'm not. I'm understanding that there was no way around this. There's no way around this. But to me, the order of anger is Giants, Niners, Warriors. That's the order of anger. The Giants, there are real questions with the way that everything's been constructed, with what's happened currently with the farm system, which is suddenly cratered down to a guy. His name is Bryce. That's it. He's the farm system.
Save us. Right? You're our only hope.
Boy, you want to talk about an uncomfortable situation where you're like, okay, buddy, you're it, and you're 20. Hi, take over the organization. Good Lord, that's not the way to do it. Meanwhile, the Dodgers have 17 players literally that they're counting on that they just signed within the last 3 weeks. So that's number one. Number two is the Niners, because it was just so, whether you understand it, whether you give it a pass, it like, my God, what an incredibly disappointing season. It to the point of confusion. And I don't understand how they ended up 6-11. That's crazy.
Even on top of that season, it is frustration to the level of, you have been so close so many times,
right? Tantalizingly,
and you haven't come through.
Yes,
like, yeah, honestly, the 6-11 season is what it is, and it was frustrating, and it was terrible, and the experience was horrible, and it was not fun for almost any moment. Not denying that, my Niners' frustration is more so like, you should have at least a Super Bowl by now.
Yes, and I'll add in, especially for those who are your generation and younger,
never experienced.
You've
it.
Never seen the Niners win a Super Bowl. You've recently seen the other two win a lot. The Warriors is the one where I look at it and be like, I don't want to be flippant about it, but what the hell do y'all think was going to happen? Like, I don't know. Do you watch the NBA? You go through a period of dominance, then you stop. That's it. End of the book. It's got two chapters. It happened and it stopped. That's it.
They had a unique opportunity that not many dynasties have.
Did they?
Yes.
How?
They had a number two overall draft pick.
Correct. But
not many dynasties have that opportunity.
Okay. It's a fair point. But even if they nail that pick, I don't think they're suddenly sitting here in the two seed right now. Like, that's a pick. Like, to just look at it and be like, it's a pick, so make another dynasty out of it. Or even make a champion out of it. Like, come on.
Yeah, you're asking to follow up incredible drafting with another. But, like, that is, I think, where some of the frustration begins. And you had a unique opportunity to add on and to extend. And to be fair, they still won in 2022. But that draft pick had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Correct.
And I'm with you. Like, in terms of frustration, the Warriors are third on my list as well. But I... You said earlier it's no one's fault individually, and I think some people would disagree with you. I know where you're coming from. It does not mean that there have been decisions that were not correct.
Of course not.
Or that there are not people without fault entirely.
I don't ever think that's the case. Like, I don't know about you or how anyone else. I show up to the event thinking that there's going to be some misses here.
Yeah,
you're going to mess up a draft pick here and there. You're going to have a signing that doesn't work out. You know, like, you're going to get Devondre Campbell, and you're going to be like, hey, that guy's done some good things in this league. Oh, my God. You did what?
You're going to sign Javon Hargrave to the richest contract in that free agency cycle.
You are going to mess up. Bill Belichick messed up. Bill Parcells messed up. Bill Walsh messed up. Everyone named Bill and everyone not named Bill.
You're going to trade DeForest Buckner and pick Javon Kinlaw.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I'd be done getting people named Javon to be defensive line, but that's me. Right? You're going to draft a kicker in the third round and then keep telling us that he's going to be good. Whatever. Whatever, you're going to mess up. The idea is to not mess up constantly or consistently, or at least mix in a bunch of wins, too. I mean, we can go through all the draft picks in the Steph, Clay, and Dre era, and we've all forgotten them because we don't care, but like there are a bunch of misses in there, too.
Yeah, and the difference between, say, the Giants and the Warriors is, you know, Warriors last 2.5 years-ish have been a 500 team, a little better. Last year they were over 500. This year they're 500. Giants for like the last 3 years have been painfully average, right around 500.
Well, and the Giants, I'll add to that, which is that the Warriors, even when frustrating and not exactly where you want them to be, has been a very entertaining product.
Yes.
The Giants have turned their back on entertainment in the Farhan Zaidi era.
And the difference between the Giants 500 and the Warriors 500 is the Warriors 500, as you just said, comes off the heel of four championships led by a group that is still in the building, which has earned at least a little bit of leeway from fans, you would think. Meanwhile, no one in that Giants front office currently has earned, and no one in the front office last year either earned any sort of leeway because that group didn't really accomplish much besides 107 wins and not winning a playoff series.
I've jotted down a line that encompasses, I think, the number one criticism that I hear for each of the three teams. And the question will be fair or unfair. Okay? Let me throw these at you.
So I'm saying fair or unfair?
Right. As are all of you. Okay. You can tweet, you can text 888-957-9570. The number one sort of like controversial narrative that I hear about these three teams as we go through these struggles, okay? The one for the Golden State Warriors, which got mentioned about a half hour ago, is Steve Kerr hates young people. Is this a fair or an unfair narrative?
I would say unfair, but there's a lot of missing context. Steve Kerr doesn't hate young people because they're young people. He tends to avoid playing young people because generally young people aren't ready to play the kind of basketball Steve Kerr likes to play.
Okay, so then I would follow up with the question of, is that not fair considering the context of the organization the last handful of years?
Oh, I meant unfair as in that narrative's unfair.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. But so by extension, because you're saying it's an unfair narrative, but he does hold young people back.
There is some truth in it, but he doesn't hate young people they're young people.
Right, but like to me, so we go with that context, yes, you're right. There has been some slow pace to the development of certain players, but to me, I would say for an understandable reason. I do not look back on this and go, Steve, you messed up because you this, that, the other with the young players when we go through each given year and think about where you were in that moment, what did the organization want to do in that moment, what did they think was realistic in that moment. So you won a title 3 years ago. The following year after that, did you or did you not still think you were like a contender?
You thought you were a contender.
Okay. You made the conference semifinals to game six. That
was where this conversation began the most.
Agreed.
Because it was Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome.
And Klay Thompson going brick, 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 brick. Okay. So then the conversation starts. And last season unfolds with all of its bumps and bruises and Draymond suspensions. You win actually more games than you did the year before, but you missed the playoffs entirely. Is the thought there in that moment that the franchise should have known that Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and still Klay Thompson should have been sort of ushered to the bench a little bit more in favor of development?
I don't think it's ever been Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and the Klay Thompson half of it really only happened last year, as I remember. It was, again, going back 2 years ago when it was Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome playing over Kuminga and Moody. Now, you can have whatever opinion you want of Kuminga and Moody 2 years ago. I don't ever view it as someone else should have been playing over Steph and Draymond and Klay. Maybe Klay a little bit at times last year, but it was never about less Steph and less Draymond and less Klay. It was these others who we don't really know, who haven't proven anything in the NBA, but who are older and played 4 years of college and maybe have some time in the G League instead of our prized young lottery picks.
By the way, quick aside, does anybody want to think about what Ty Jerome is doing now in the NBA?
He's having a hell of a career a hell of a season with the Cavs. Yeah.
Averaging 11 points a game, 3.5 assists per game, 1.2 steals per game.
I think went off for like 30 the other day.
He is a true rotational piece on a phenomenal team.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you throw that in
there. Anthony Lamb out of the league.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And then there's this year where I would argue that while I still hear people going, dude, play the young people, I'm like, he is. He is.
More so lately.
Yeah. He is.
Kuminga was 20 minutes one night, 15 the other, 22, and then back to 13.
Right, and I still do, like, while I understand that, I understand the frustration there, like, some of that is over the last few years, some of it's on Jonathan. Like, right, we had, which assistant coach was it who came on? I can't remember. Who was like, Jonathan, when he started scoring at a level of like 18 a night in the NBA, he completely stopped playing defense.
I believe it was Ron Adams.
That's right. It was Ron Adams. He's like, he just stopped. He stopped. We couldn't put him on the floor anymore. So some of it, not all of it, some of it I think is on Jonathan. Here, Jay in Oakland wants to weigh in real quick. Hey, Jay, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, first of all, love the show, as always, and I think you guys are hitting on some great points. I kind of see things differently as far as pecking order of level of disappointment with Bay Area teams. I would say number one is the Warriors, number two is the Niners, and then number three is the Giants.
That's an interesting list. Why?
Well, let me start at number three. Number three, the Giants, I mean, let's keep it real. They're irrelevant, so who cares? Like, it's like the old saying, like, lower your standards so you won't be disappointing. I don't know anyone who has high hopes or standards for the Giants, so how can you really be disappointed with the Giants?
I guess that's kind of the point. That's the point for some people, Jay, is that we do what we want to have expectations of the Giants. We should be able to have expectations for the Giants. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, what have the Giants done in the last 7 years that give you high hopes? I mean, that's just my thought.
Yep.
But number, you know, is because the last 5, 6, 7 years, the 49ers have been loaded. I mean, the roster have been, like, completely loaded, and they've fallen short. So, I mean, obviously that's disappointing. You would think a team that as talented as the Niners have been the last couple years would achieve. I mean, it got to the mountaintop, but they didn't really win it all. So I would say that the 49ers for that reason. And then number one, I would say the Warriors are probably the most disappointing, is because we've seen that this current organization, this current leadership, like, brainstorm the architect of the Warriors dynasty. And it's kind of disappointing you look at the Warriors, what direction are they going in, like, for the future? I don't see a clear direction for the Warriors. And I think that's kind of disappointing because we had trust in Lightyear Joey. So, yeah, that's my list.
Jay, thanks. That's really interesting. We can respond to that coming up next. I don't know if they're interested in laying out a direction for the future yet. And maybe you can criticize them for that. I think they're still very much living in the now. Should they be? I don't know. But let's talk that out. Warriors and Thunder tonight. Evan Giddings will be along at 6 for Warriors Live, presented by Xfinity Stream Sports, from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Of the three teams and their current disappointment, what is your list on the most disappointing, or where your anger is the most? We'll keep taking your calls on that at 888-957-9570. I'd listen for that sounder real, real soon.
Wisniewski fakes, then throws it over the top to Anderson. Surprising Tom.
Good surprise.
Gets the ball to Moody. Moody for three, and Moody is just locked in right now. Played the best basketball of his NBA career. Moses Moody has 9 points, 39-29. Warrior lead is 10. Smashback might be better. Moody off a screen, hits a three. Moses Moody for the biggest shot of the night. He's got 14 points on 4 of 9 shooting. And now Sexton with a blow by to the rim. Goes up, blocked by Moody. Looney gets it. Moody steps around George and feeds ahead to Santos. Left corner, Pajemski takes the three. Good! 10-point lead for the Dubs and a timeout for Utah.
I feel like I'm kind of doing the same stuff, you know, from 2 to 4, we pretty much do the same stuff out there, so it's a familiar position. Yeah, you know, that's more so just who you're guarding, I guess, but yeah, we run the same stuff, so I'm in the same spot. We really just match up depending on who on the floor, so it's not like a set thing every time. I really don't feel much of a change from when I've been quote-unquote playing, like it's just the same stuff.
Bay Area, it's Moses Moody. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
I love listening to Moses Moody talk. I don't know what it is about his voice.
He's got a great voice.
He's got a great voice.
It's real smooth.
Yep, it makes me smile. Plus, he calls Dibs Dib. Everyone knows that? Like, there's only one of them.
You're listening to Willard and Dibs.
That's right. Nation is Moses Moody. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
There's a new
Bay Area. It's Moses Moody.
I like your picks. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It's in there.
Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Yeah. It's in there. It was subtle. It kind of rolls over it.
It was quiet the first one.
Yeah. I wish there were multiple Dibs with the way he picks games. We'd make that much more money. Anyway.
Moses Moody, double digits in 7 straight games.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
11, 13, 13, 11, 16, 10, 15.
He can play, man. He can play. And
shooting the ball pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that for the 833rd time, let me be someone to say, I really hope that his minutes continue even when others get healthy.
Let's see.
But
in
we shall see.
7 games, he is shooting 46% from deep.
Oh, damn.
In these 7 games.
Oh, damn. That's
50% from the field and 46.3 from downtown.
That is strong. And sometimes, like last night and tonight, he shoots the ball at Chase Center, which is something that one of you might do in a little bit. I was like, you got it, right? You got it? You understand? Are you listening?
You guys know what that means,
okay,
right?
Okay, that's the sounder. All you got to do is call the contest line right now, 415-523-4652. First person to give us the correct keyword on the contest line is in the knockout tournament, Chase Center floor, March 3rd. Contest line, 415-523-4652. Call now. Best of luck. If you don't get in, got good news. We're doing it every day. Morning, noon, and night. Every day. Rest of this week, next week, and the week after that. Your next chance to win will, of course, be on the roast tomorrow morning in the 8 a.m. hour. But you'll have another chance in the noon hour and always in the 4 o'clock hour here on Willard and Dibbs. So good luck to each and every one of you. And a hearty thank you from all of us here at 95.7 The Game, not only for listening, oh, darn it, I was about to say, because everyone calling is actually calling the contest line. And right as I said that, someone called 888-957-957.
Well, maybe they just want to talk about Moses Moody.
Maybe they want to talk about Moody. You're welcome to do that. But anyway, so Warriors and Thunder tonight, we will be counting you down. Plus, as soon as that contest has kind of like figured itself out for the day, we'll tell you about the other contest that we're running right now, which is absolutely out of this world.
Absurd.
It is just crazy. So we'll tell you about that in just a few. All right. Back to the conversation we were having with regard to the struggles right now of Bay Area sports and the three teams we talk about the most. One of them is a double-digit dog in their own building tonight. The other one went 6-11 when they were a Super Bowl favorite. And the other one watches their rival become literally the most expensive, epic thing that the sport has ever known. So with all of those as the backdrop, we were kind of laying this out in a couple of ways. A, from first to third, which do you find to be the most disappointing or frustrating right now? And for me, Big picture, I made the statement. I think the Giants fan base is allowed to be the most upset and angry right now based on the conceptual way that they've approached this, based on what they've allowed to happen to their farm system, based on all of the free agent misses, based on the fact that they've sort of just blown off the idea of entertainment the last 5 years. I think that the Buster Posey thing puts them absolutely on the right track, but we'll see. But that fan base probably has the most right to be like, hey, what gives? The 49er fan base, to me, is second, and that's due to the fact that this was just so epically disappointing. However, most years in the last handful of years have been a very good football team. Yes, maddening that they haven't won the last game, but very, very competitive and right there. And then for me, I said it earlier, I don't even understand the Warrior anger. I get why it's like, damn it, I wish it was different right now. But I just look at the Warriors and I'm like, well, yeah. So we've arrived at 2025. Steph's about to turn 37. What exactly did we think was supposed to happen after four rings and a decade and a half of dominance? Sure, you can make some different moves, but I don't know. This just feels the most understandable to me.
I hear you. I hear you. I think our caller before we went to break, though, brought up a good point. And if you want to join the conversation, you can call 888-957-9570. Just be patient because we got to clear up the contest, and then we will answer your call. But
indeed,
you can call
indeed
and join this conversation. Our caller on the other side essentially brought up the idea of expectation, and that may be shifting his view on this. And it is an interesting angle to this, Willard, because whether or not it is the way it should be, the way it should feel, the Giants essentially have done a pretty good job of making it so their fans don't have a lot to look forward to,
yeah,
and a lot of expectation. And maybe there's a group of us out there who are kind of, you know, forgetting what it's like to have a great baseball team or to have one that's incredibly entertaining and one that you want to tune in for 162 games every single year. I know you are a diehard and you watch the majority of games. By the time August and September rolls around, it's hard for me to sit down and watch 3 hours of Giants baseball the last 3 years.
It absolutely was last year. While you're saying this, let me throw something into the party because it's brand spanking new and it's courtesy of Bags based off of this Giants trade that happened today. And if you're just joining us, they sent Taylor Rogers to the Reds for a prospect. And there were a lot of people that were like, ooh, that clears $12 million.
Oh, time to make a move.
Hey. They're rearranging things here so they can pow!
Pete Alonso, 1+1.
Andy Baggerly tweets, just talked to Buster Posey, says that he hated breaking up the Rogers twins, but they wanted to create chances for younger arms in the pen. Doesn't sound like there are any plans to reinvest the money that San Francisco saved, and by the way, it's only half of the $12 million. Because the Reds are only going to pick up half of Taylor Rogers' salary. Quote, we'll keep looking. I will say we feel pretty set with the roster the way it is right now. Now, I can read that one of two ways. I can take that as, look, Buster is saying that for a reason, which means he's setting expectations low. And as a fan, I can hope for you're trying to underpromise and overdeliver because the Giants have kind of done the opposite in the Farhan Zaidi era. Or I can take from that, ugh, like he's saying that for a reason, and the reason is
that he
means it.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. And I say that even with the Adama signing. It is exactly what Giants fans, I think, are hoping for. I don't know how the guy's going to play, but that is an exciting signing. And so that's wonderful. The Verlander thing is a mixed bag to me. Big name. I get why you do it. He's 42 years old. Good God. But it feels like more needs to happen. And I do wonder if it's not on the trade market. And that's why they're going to be very, very coy about it. Maybe that's the case, but maybe it is nothing. And by the way, there have been a couple signings in the last 2 weeks that if Farhan were the one making him, people would be honking horns in the street going, oh my God, you're doing crap on the margins again.
He's at it again.
But Buster is the one who just acquired Jake Lamb, who hit 30 home runs, checks notes, 6 years ago. and hasn't been able to hit a baseball since. And Joey Lucchese, who 6 years ago was a big prospect in the Padres organization, but has only proven to be kind of odd and inconsistent in recent years. Very Farhan-esque moves, but they're not being made by Farhan.